such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey, welcome everyone. Father Tom Coy's here with you on a Wednesday. It's a very special Wednesday, actually. It happens to be the day we celebrate Independence Day. That would be 4th of July. Oh, look at that. Well, there's fireworks going on. Look at that. I could see them from up in this beautiful studio here, filled with fireworks. I wanted to be with you today live. This is 4th of July, and I felt bad dragging Nick into work today on this beautiful 4th of July. But I'm really grateful for his willingness to do so, because I think this holiday... Wow. Oh, yeah.
You just wrinkled my brain, man.
That was stroking your brain, as opposed... We don't have one of those talks, so... But I do think that this holiday leads to some very important issues, very important brain-wrinkling issues that we really should talk about, think about more. And so that's why I'm here with you today. As someone who is, full disclosure, I was born here in the United States. Though, of course, like so many, almost everyone, you can trace your ancestors back to various other countries. I'm going to dare to touch upon one of the more talked about topics in the news today, try to relate it to this spirit of patriotism that should be part of our celebration of today. And yet I know I'm a little nervous. I have to confess to you, I'm a little nervous because this holiday certainly calls us to think about the different issues that we hear on the news today. Issues on the news today tend to be charged with a lot of different political angles. And therefore, the reason I'm nervous is because I know that our Catholic faith has a very strong tradition of staying out of politics, for better and for worse. I'm going to say it that way, but I recognize and I respect it up to a certain point. And yet, if we don't try to shed some light upon the great political issues of the day, then we create a faith life. We create a church that puts ourselves in the catacombs, as it were. Obviously, I'm referring to the early days of the church when the Christians were living in the Roman Empire while Christianity was illegal. And obviously, being illegal, it had to protect itself, and hence the catacombs. Those of you who didn't study that much history might not know what the catacombs are, but that's where the early Christians went to celebrate Mass. That's where they buried their dead, and a number of martyrs were discovered there and dragged out and beheaded and what have you during great persecution days. There has been over 2,000 years of time, this Catholic, it's gone through phases. I'm just going to say that it's gone through phases. You could certainly say that in the early days of the church, when it was illegal to be a Christian, there was a tremendous separation of church and state. In other words, state, we will run society very well, and Christians, you stay in your caves. After almost 400 years, and the breakthrough of at least not being criminalized, Christianity not being criminalized, that's one of the major mistakes, my friends, that a lot of students of history make when they say that Constantine baptized the Roman Empire. He didn't baptize the Roman Empire. What he did was he removed the illegality of Christians to be Christians. That's quite a difference than baptizing. That's like saying that there's a difference between baptizing your child. I'm going to baptize, or if, let's say you have several children and you baptize all your children, versus a parent that would say, if you want to be baptized, I will disown you, or worse, kill you. Of course, there's a major difference between not punishing someone for being Christian versus making them Christian. It's a good, very important distinction, and it's missed by so many today. So I'm going to try to bring up to speed, as it were. I want on this day we dedicate to spirit of patriotism and love of country. I've got to wrestle with you. I will wrestle with you because I wrestle with these ideas in my own mind, as it were. And so I'm going to invite you into this wrestle, this struggle. And the struggle might be described, especially... Oh, okay.
You just wrinkled my brain, man.
Okay, there you go. You're being wrinkling, and I'm drawing you into some wrinkling. That's good. obviously, we're not... There... That was a big crowd. The crowd pleasers, and we'll wait until the crowd lightens up a little bit there. Very good. So I want to wrestle with the issue of immigration. There's two major issues that are on the forefront of the news today. Immigration and abortion rights. Immigration because of the pictures that are coming out of the children separated from their parents in the process of catching people coming into the country illegally. And because of the laws set up, not by our current president, but the laws that have been set up for a while, state that you can't keep children for more than 20 days, I think it is, in custody. And so if a parent is awaiting trial and it'll take more than 20 days, what are you going to do? Somewhere along the line, they have to be separated, as it were. And it's sad. I don't think there's very few people that can't feel the pain, can't feel that there's something difficult and sad about what's going on. However, that being said, I'm afraid we have to look a little deeper, look a little closer at what's going on. I'm going to share with you right off the bat a personal dialogue that I've been involved in with a number of my wonderful people of Latin American heritage. Here in Chicago, I have so many wonderful, positive thoughts about Latin American people. There is a spirit in their hearts and in their souls that is truly wonderful, And there is a richness that they bring to our American culture that is precious, and it's undeniable. And so that part has to be said before I continue with the issue of open borders versus non-open borders, or I guess you could say porous borders versus some kind of verification and or education. There's two aspects that need to be really addressed head on. One is the issue of backgrounds in terms of being a criminal of some kind, someone who's fleeing the law and order of their country of origin, and or terrorism. We can't pretend that there are that is not a concern for our national safety, as it were, and heritage, which unfortunately I think it is sort of ignored in that way. So there's the safety side of it, the safety side, and that requires a certain kind of checking at the border. But there's another aspect regarding, even if someone is not criminal at all, there is another problem that looms large, but underneath, very subtle. It's a subtle but large issue that we need to wrestle with here. And that is the kind of political ideology that so many of the people coming from Latin America are bringing into the United States of America. Because the political ideology doesn't have a real good record when you look back 100, even especially the last 100 years. And I'm going to have to share a little bit of what the last 100 years has been, number one in Mexico, but also it could be in many other Latin American countries. So there's this issue before us, which is to be contemplated on this Independence Day, because it has to do with who we are, and the second major issue that's in front of us today is the abortion issue, the right to life. Why? Because one of the Supreme Court justices, Kennedy, is stepping down, and that means there's a vacancy, and that means the president gets to appoint a new Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. And the there's a tremendous amount of hysterics going on. And there, the people who are nervous and mad and frustrated with our president are making no bones about why they're nervous and mad. Amazingly enough, the immigration laws are leapfrogged over when the senators who will quiz the candidates for the Supreme Court justice. Here's some names that keep in mind, my friends, that we'll see what will come about in this next week. Here's some of the names that are floating that are.
Here it begins.
And if you're a political junkie, as it were, I think it's you can become too addicted to just politics, but you can also ignore politics, and that's also.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
We're definitely gonna need a bigger boat because we're dealing with big issues here. Some of the candidates we're talking about is a judge, Don Willett, another one, William Pryor, another one, Amy Barrett, and a fourth one, Brett Kavanaugh. So keep those names in your mind: Willett, Pryor, Barrett, and Kavanaugh. William Pryor, I think I saw one commentary that said, well, he's out of the running because he's written and he's been too clear about his opposition. What? To border rules? No. Marijuana laws? No. Same-sex marriage laws? No. Trade laws with it between states? No. Healthcare laws? No. Let's see, what could it possibly be that he's written about that angers so many people about his potential nominee? Maybe his opinions about Roe versus Wade, the Supreme Court decision that, now I'm going to say a phrase, and you got to pay attention, everyone. I'm going to say, when I use the phrase Roe versus Wade, I was tempted to say this, but I caught myself beforehand. Many people will say this, and they're wrong when you say, that Supreme Court decision, Roe versus Wade, which legalized abortion. No, that's not exactly what it did. Just like I was talking about the Roman Empire, the Supreme Court in Roe versus Wade didn't legalize abortion. In effect, it did, but all it did was it said that the federal government or that states don't have a right to outlaw it. So there's a similarity right there between the ancient Roman Empire that was persecuting the Christians and what's going on since Roe versus Wade. So, we got these two mammoth issues before us on this Declaration of Independence Day, July 4th. The immigration issue and the Roe versus the abortion issue. I'm afraid we're going to have to keep wrestling with this lest our country go down the rabbit hole and we know not where that leads. Shall I just leave you with that? Okay, I will. But first we're going to take a break and we got to come back. I got to tell you about a great disappointment in my heart regarding many of the people I've known and loved and cherished very dearly. We'll be right back. I'm Father Tom Coyes. I'm guest host on The Winds of Change. This is the new EWTN Catholic radio voice for Chicagoland. It's AM 750 WNDZ and 88.5 FM WSFI.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. Celebrating our nation's birthday and the unalienable rights bestowed on us by our Creator, this is the Winds of Change.
Ever been to a Civil War reenactment? Booming cannons, rifle volleys, and lots of talk about history. Hi, I'm Father Tom Coyes, and I want to invite you to a Civil War reenactment. Check out historicstjames.org for information. Come to St. James at Sag Bridge in Lamont, Saturday, July 23rd, as Bishop Verrill of Virginia squares off with Bishop Purcell of Cincinnati. You'll be transported back to the 1860s to see two Catholic bishops deliver authentic Civil War-era sermons about the War of Northern Aggression. Old Abe himself will be your host. Admission is free, but Lincoln's hat will be passed to help maintain this historic church. Burgers will be available for purchase before the play at 5 p.m. Visit historicstjames.org. See you on the 23rd at 7 p.m. And don't forget to check your musket at the door.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. Father Coyes here on a very important holiday, a national holiday, which brings us to many deep and philosophical, theological thoughts. It's supposed to be a day of bringing people together in a unified spirit of patriotism. Fortunately, our country is wrapped in a very ideological debate, and I want to help you navigate through that debate. And I believe there's some important insights that are not being expressed in most of the news outlets that we're listening to. At least I don't hear, and I'm a bit of a news junkie, as it were. So most people aren't going to get what you're going to get right here. And so I laid before you the two very major issues that are in the news this very week, and that being the immigration issue vis-a-vis the separation of children at the border, and of course, the underlying issue of how to fix and how to arrange a better system of immigration. And then also the right to life and the right to abortion issue, because there's a Supreme Court justice vacancy, and we're hoping and praying. I hope you caught that little blurb in between one of the announcements between segments here that mentioned about Amy Coney Barrett. She's the one that, when she was being nominated for a lower level judgeship, it was fellow Catholic Senator Feinstein who scolded her by saying, "Dogma is evident in you," or "Dogma is runs through you," as if that was her way of insulting her, or saying, "We can't have you because you have beliefs," and. So please pray, and it would be great to have a woman who would be like that little blurb that our producer Armin had there. If you heard constitutional originalist, that's a key little phrase. And yet, to me, it puts it in the context of us. Establishing civil laws that respect a divine law, and knowing where certain divine mandates can be made into civil law, and divine mandates that shouldn't be made into civil law. What do I mean by that? A divine mandate would be something like, you must go to church on the Sabbath. Go to church on Sunday or go to synagogue. That would be a divine mandate, but I would be very hesitant to make a law saying you had to go to church on Sunday. There could be rules that we had before, namely, there were no laws that said you cannot be open on a Sunday if you own a business. Just people closed their businesses by and large because the culture of Christianity was so accepted nationwide. There are kind of divine mandates that can be turned into civil law, and certain divine mandates that shouldn't be turned into civil law. A divine mandate like the Ten Commandments, for instance, do not kill, can certainly be turned into a civil law. So here's how I propose to wrestle with these issues on this Independence Day, where I want to build up a true spirit of patriotism, which isn't blind love, as it were, that doesn't recognize any faults, and yet neither does it only concentrate on the faults to not even wish to recognize the United States as a good and a wonderful country that it is. So here's how I want to approach it. Some of you who may or may not know me, I spent a number of years in Hispanic ministry here in Chicago. Puedo hablar español y predicar y escuchar las confesiones and stuff like that. I just said I can speak Spanish and preach and listen to hear confessions. At the beginning, as for many people who don't speak Spanish and learn Spanish, it's a challenge. And I do remember being petrified by listening to confessions. I was in Mexico with late great Father Pablo Straub, and he does many missions throughout Mexico. And I was with him on some mission trips, and Father Pablo says, "How's your Spanish?" I said, "Poquito." He goes, "Oh, why don't you hear some confessions over there?" Oh my goodness, what am I going to do? How can I say no? So I said, "Okay, I'll try." And I remember listening and listening to confessions, not understanding too much. And I remember hearing some guy use the word armas. And of course, that could be like a gun, like arms, armas. And I remember getting very scared and wasn't able to say much, but I asked him if he was sorry for his sins and gave him a blessing. And I left the confession wondering, boy, did I just absolve a murderer there? I don't know. Well, God gave me enough grace to learn enough Spanish so that people don't get away with murder anymore. Though also, Spanish-speaking people might appreciate this little sidebar too. Is that I remember early on when I was hearing confessions, and I needed to ask people if they're sorry for their sins. You know, even though I didn't understand everything they were saying, I'd want to say, "Are you sorry for your sins?" And I quickly thought, "Oh, geez, what's the word for sorry?" And I remember looking up the word for sorry in my dictionary, and the word was dolor, and it also means pain, of course. And so I would ask people at the end of their confessions, ¿Tienes dolor por sus pecados? And I thought I was saying, "Are you sorry for your sins?" But in fact, I was saying, "Do you have pain now because of your sins?" And almost every time I ask people, "Tienes dolor por sus pecados?" They would say, "No, no, padre, no." In other words, I was asking in my broken Spanish, I was asking them, "Are you in pain right now?" And they would say, "No, I'm not in pain." And when I heard them say no, I would think, "Well, how can I give you absolution if you're not sorry for your sins?" Oh, dear, dear, dear. Such is life, isn't it? It's fun. Life is filled with marvelous, interesting, and mind-bending, mind-wrinkling experiences of one kind or another. So, but anyways, here, I got to put this issue.
You just wrinkled my brain, man.
Yeah, and my brain gets wrinkled too, so we're even. But I want to put this issue of the immigration / abortion issues in the context of this is very personal, and I'm sharing with this on a very personal level, yeah, it is who I am, and I'm just going to spit it out. I remember as a young priest, I became very passionate about the right to life issue. It seemed like a premier moral issue of the day. It dealt with very clear-cut matter of right and wrong. And, of course, you can't justify it. You have to stand strongly and squarely against the right to abortion. Now, these were in the years of Cardinal Bernardine here in Chicago. And what happened was I was called in to the diocese, because sometimes people would write to the diocese and the bishops and say, "This young whippersnapper priest is upsetting so many people. He's too strongly preaching about abortion rights and right to life and all. against abortion rights. And so on a number of occasions, I had to go in and talk about it. And another thing that happened when I was young was during our pre-Cana, some of you who got married in the church know what pre-Cana is, the little classes you would go to called before you get married, the marriage preparation work, as it were. And I would present the Catholic Church teaching on artificial contraception. And I'd say, learn natural family planning. Don't use artificial contraception. And then at the end of those pre-Cana conferences, they, you would ask people to fill out little evaluation forms. And lo and behold, even though a lot of people appreciated and wrote in positive comments regarding those pre-Cana conferences that I was working with and working at, there were a number that were negative, of course. And so those negative ones got back to the bishops and or the people in charge. And lo and behold, like always, negative comments always get more attention than positive comments. And so it was. And so there was this worry, this sense that I can't deal with those. You have to become neutral in both the issue of the issue of abortion and the issue of artificial contraception. So I was between a rock and a hard place, because the more I studied and the more I prayed, the more I realized that it's I'm presenting and passing on the precious teachings of Catholic faith, and I couldn't just be neutral, as it were, which was seemed to be what all external forces were pushing me toward. I forget exactly who it was. I think I remember, but I'm not positive. But a priest friend of mine said, "Why don't you learn Spanish, and then you can minister in the Hispanic parishes? They're much more open to life. They're not going to write bad reviews to you and send them to the bishop if you do preach about the right to life and or the need for natural family planning as opposed to artificial contraception." Okay, so there I was, and I thought, it's not a bad idea. I'll take that suggestion seriously, and hence put myself to trying to learn Spanish. And I was glad for the Holy Spirit that guided me at the beginning. To be honest, I wanted to quit. Languages never came easy for me, but with the grace of God, I was able to get through. Like I said, I got over the armas and the dolores. That's a reference to something I said before the break, if you just joined us. But I started ministry in the Hispanic world, and now I for a very important angle, and now in a certain sense I'm feeling betrayed almost. I'm feeling a betrayal and a disappointment that really is personal, that really is difficult to deal with. So I'm going to explain that a little bit more when we come back after the break, okay? Let's take that break, okay, Nick? I'm Father Tom Coyes. You're listening to the... I'm guest host on The Winds of Change. You're listening to the new Chicagoland radio home of EWTN. It's 7:50 a.m. WNDZ and 88.5 WSFI FM.
Here's something that you should know about what's happening at St. Stan's. The Daughters of St. Mary of Providence Religious Order operates the Providence Soup Kitchen on the premises of St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish. The soup kitchen serves a midday meal Monday through Thursday from 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Anyone who needs a meal is welcome. If you can volunteer to help and serve meals on a regular basis, please call Sister Darlene at 773-870-2435. That's 773-870-2435. St. Stan's is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. Celebrating our nation's birthday and the unalienable rights bestowed on us by our Creator, this is the Winds of Change. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. Father Tom Coyce here. I'm trying to wrinkle your brain and share with you some of the difficult matters that are behind the attempt to bring about a greater spirit of patriotism in a country that is so wrapped in various debates. But I'm trying to focus on two of those debates, and I'm approaching it from a very personal manner, a very personal angle. That being a priest who was very passionate, still am, about the right to life, but was called in to the diocese under the Cardinal Bernardine years because some people who would listen would be upset at the strong defense of the right to life and the warning I was trying to give for those who are going the pro-choice, pro-abortion route. Anyways, and so I left before the break. I said there was a, so I found myself in a, between a rock and a hard place in a certain sense, and through the suggestion of a friend, was encouraged to minister in the Hispanic community. And this is where I say, at this junction, 30 years later, 25 years later, in some ways, I feel a bit betrayed or at least disappointed by what I've seen happen. What I mean by that is I went into Hispanic ministry with the hope that the sense of the right to life, which was stronger, and the respect for the Catholic voice vis-a-vis a Catholic priest talking was, in some sense, not as politicized as a number of American Catholics are. What do I mean by that is that if I'm preaching to a general American audience, a congregation, I don't even like to use the word audience, but sometimes you talk in a hall or in a non-liturgy setting, and that could be an audience. But the regular American Catholic, when they don't like what you're saying, they're trained well enough to know that instead of just trying to change your opinion or trying to enter into dialogue with you, they go above your head and talk to the bishop and let the bishop deal with you. And so at times I would get letters sent to the bishops, and I'd have to sort of defend myself, as it were. But going into the Hispanic work in a typical Latin American parish setting, even if they don't disagree with you, they're not going to go over your head and write the bishops, at least by and large. And because in a real practical way, there was more openness to life, and we certainly had more babies baptized at Spanish baptism ceremonies than we had at English ceremonies. And I think that's still kind of true today, indicating their more openness to life, and they're not using artificial contraception. But now comes 25 years later, what have you, and let's put these two issues together, the immigration issue, and the incredible anger that is primarily addressed, laid at the feet of President Trump. Obviously, that's the way politics works. You know, you got to expect that when you're in a leadership position. And so I think he expects it, he takes it. And unfortunately, the rhetoric is very immature rhetoric. What do I mean by that is that we're not wrestling with the moral issues involved. We're just mad because for the one side, people who are fleeing from their native country want a better life for themselves, and they're mad that there's any difficulties in coming into the United States. Those who are mad because there are so many people coming into the United States, the economic ramifications are primarily the first and foremost issue. I think the first and foremost issue really should be the ideology and the way that we are approaching we're bringing the people who come here from Latin American countries are bringing with them the ideologies, the political ideologies that are in a large extent responsible for the bad situation of the country that they're in. You know, that there's a certain sense that the political side of life is key. It's important. Why? Because it affects society at large. It's hard to deny it. Everybody accepts that. However, the political ideology of so many of the Latin American countries has gone the socialist slash almost communist way. And so when they hear politicians up here in the United States speaking like that, they're drawn to that. And my major worry is not so much that we won't have enough land, we won't have enough jobs, we won't have enough resources to take care of many immigrants. My primary concern is that the political makeup of the United States of America will be transformed to be like the political structure and format of the South America, Latin American countries. And it seems inevitable then that society would imitate or would follow suit. And so this is an issue that's lies underneath the surface. And as I said, as a person who gave a great deal of my life, my time, my energy, and I don't regret a minute of it, and I'm still involved in it in a lot of different ways, but I gave a lot of that energy and ministry to out of love for the people, many of whom were immigrants, a number of whom were illegal immigrants, so I would dismiss that matter and not think about it too much, but in the kind of hope that their Latin American appreciation for the right to life would influence and affect our national conversation on that issue, which needed support. And here's where my feeling of betrayal comes in. That's not the case in so many ways. I got to share with you some email and some Facebook transactions, or what do you call them, postings and what have you, because a person I know and love from Mexican heritage, good and Catholic, good and a holy person. But this person writes that you cannot be pro-life and support this president. You cannot be pro-life.
Whoa.
And
you just wrinkled my brain, man.
Well, if that phrase wrinkle your brain, that's a wrong kind of wrinkle. That's the perfect example of a Jedi mind trick. That's the Jedi mind trick where you're telling a fib and you're saying it with strong and helpful. Oh, there you go.
You don't need to see his identification.
You see?
We don't need to see his identification.
You can't be pro-life.
These you're looking for.
This is not the issue you should be worried about.
You can go about his business.
Go ahead and insult the president all you want. So I say that because the attitude that this person shared with me, I'm sure, is widespread. But in such a at this conjuncture, the coming together of these two issues is revelatory. It reveals something very important as these two issues come together, the immigration and the right to life, vis-a-vis the selection of a new Supreme Court justice. And so the Hispanic people that I was hoping to recruit to be pro-lifers to help bring back a moral compass to our society, a Christian moral compass, seems to have gone the wayside. And the Hispanic vote that is willing to kick the right to life issue to the curb in order to bring about policies of open border, shall we say. And this is going to hurt, my friends, but I'm going to say it like this. Those kind of Latin American type citizens or residents are more in the mold of the conquistadors of the Latin American history tradition than they are of the missionaries who were all about the conversion of hearts and minds to Christ in Latin America. What I'm referring to, of course, is the conquistadors are certainly the bad guys in most interpretations of Mexican history, of course. Conquistadors were the ones who came over to exploit the resources, the land, and the people. Why? For their own enrichment, for a better life for themselves, and send it back home so that others can have some of the action as well. And so the conversion of these two issues, the immigration issue and the willingness to kick the right to life issue to the curb in a crucial Supreme Court justice nomination issue. Like I say, I repeat what was sent to me. You cannot be pro-life and support this president. Pro-life refers to living in God's law, working in defense of the defenseless, as Christ has done for all humanity, all children, born or unborn. The disabled that Trump mocks, and all the elderly. I think that's, he does say some weird things, and I wish he wouldn't have said things the way he did, but I'll leave that to the side. But that doesn't mean he's not doing the right thing in trying to help recover the moral compass, which is lost and or broken, vis-a-vis the right to life issue. And if you set up the right to life issue against or side by side with the immigration issue, you get this. If you're thinking clearly, if you're morally standing on good moral principles. The one issue is black and white. There's no way you can come to justify the taking of the innocent life of the unborn. The border issue is not so black and white. The border issue has to be recognized as a very difficult, challenging issue that allows for legitimate dispute among good-hearted people. How do you solve the problem? And if there is a major issue that is black and white and there's other issues that are gray, then the one that is more absolute, the one that's more objective, has to play a role in the recovery of the moral sense, the Christian moral sense. And that's why I feel in a certain way a sense of betrayal by my Hispanic community friends. They were supposed to help me save America vis-a-vis returning to a greater sense of the dignity of life and even marriage, but they've joined the other side, as it were, that is contributing to the downfall, the suicide of our nation, not the reform of it and what needs to be done. Let's take our another break. I'm Father Tom Coyce. You're listening to The Winds of Change, which is the new EWTN Catholic radio voice for Chicagoland, which is 750 AM and 88.5 FM WSFI.
Ever been to a Civil War reenactment? Booming cannons, rifle volleys, and lots of talk about history. Hi, I'm Father Tom Coyce, and I want to invite you to a Civil War reenactment. Check out historicstjames.org for information. Come to St. James at Sag Bridge in Lamont, Saturday, July 23rd, as Bishop Verrill of Virginia squares off with Bishop Purcell of Cincinnati. You'll be transported back to the 1860s to see two Catholic bishops deliver authentic Civil War-era sermons about the War of Northern Aggression. Old Abe himself will be your host. Admission is free, but Lincoln's hat will be passed to help maintain this historic church. Burgers will be available for purchase before the play at 5 p.m. Visit historicstjames.org. See you on the 23rd at 7 p.m. And don't forget to check your musket at the door.
Celebrating our nation's birthday and the unalienable rights bestowed on us by our Creator, this is the Winds of Change. All these years, you've been enjoying Winds of Change, Monday through Friday, on AM 750 WNDZ. And then, on Friday, you have to wait 2 days to hear Winds of Change? But take heart! Because now you can hear Winds of Change on Catholic Radio 88.5 FM WFSI for Northern Chicagoland. That's Saturday mornings at 10, except on first Saturdays. Now, don't you feel better?
Hey, welcome back, everyone. Father Coyce here, trying to help us navigate through the quagmire of the present political, moral, religious debates of our contemporary world. And I'm saying that the convergence of these two issues side by side brings a certain clarity to the way we need to proceed, and that is the immigration issue vis-a-vis the right-to-life issue. Usually they're not so on top of each other. And I said before the break that there's a kind of sense of betrayal that I feel, a great disappointment in trying to minister with and work with many of my wonderful friends and beautiful people in the Hispanic community. They received me more openly and more joyfully than many of the sort of American English-speaking Catholics who were very quick to write nasty letters to bishops when they heard me speaking too strongly against Roe versus Wade, the Supreme Court decision that passed the issue, or or took away the states' rights issue to legalize or illegal, legalize or not the right to an abortion. So as we come to a conclusion here, I want to share this idea with you, and I think this can help us in these heated debates, because it'll, I think I want to take a lot of the passion that is involved in especially the immigration issue, but of course it ties into the right to life issue. I want to take some of that passion and hijack this passion. I want to hijack this passion. Now, a lot of people today don't even know what the word hijack refers to. If you're older than 50, you remember that before 9/11, planes were hijacked. Now planes aren't hijacked because we have all these security measures, and you can't barge into a pilot's cabin on an airplane, a jet, on a flight because of 9/11. But before the days of flying airplanes into buildings, what happened oftentimes was somebody would barge into the pilot's cabin, stick a gun at the pilot's head and say, "I'm hijacking this plane. Take me to Cuba or some other place." And the pilot would have to do what they say, or else everyone on the plane would die along. But anyways, you know what I mean. So I want to hijack the passion of this issue and use it for the attention to the identity crisis. I believe we need to focus on the fact that we have an identity crisis going on. What do I mean by that? Is that people will use the phrase and the term assimilate quite readily. If people who often say it mean well, but it doesn't explain enough, I'm afraid, because it's not clear enough. People will say, immigrants have to assimilate to our culture, our country, our way of life. But that culture, that way of life, the ideology has morphed in such a way that it's hard to recognize what it is, except for the fact of perhaps language. And that's not where the problem is. The problem with America is not that we have not been generous. We face a different problem, and that is we're losing the Christian foundation of our moral laws. So I'm going to have to come back to this, as always, as we finish the hour. God love you, everyone. I'm Father Tom Coyes. This is listener-supported The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. Happy birthday, America.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deep for truth or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed. What's that you say? Become so obscure, it does not take that long. Can you see?